darkest light shine bright. Bad boy sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boy's a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcast. I'm Matt Michaels here, along with Rob Bossolari and Sin City Steven. Happy 316 day, everybody. Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know, you kids said they're kind of effeminate. You were like, oh, hell yeah.
What did I say, like Cat Williams?
And that's the bottom line, because I said so. Thank you, sir.
Well, you know what? I gotta watch what I say about the WWE, because last week when we finished our broadcast, shortly thereafter, I received a little something here.
Dun, dun, dun.
WWE blocked our video because it may have contained content that they deemed copywritten. So we provide a little photo of things that
was
going
it Nia on. Jax's camel toe.
Nia Jax's camel toe, you can't capture that. It's wild and it will never be tamed.
Never.
Oh boy.
So you know, to combat the overlord's ruling here and the age we live in, I figured that there was only one thing to do, and that is to make a concession and to not use WWE images so that we don't get taken down for copyright. And we had to go with something. So throughout the show, we will be seeing stuff like this.
Wow.
What the hell? Not wait a minute.
That's The Rock and Cena. Clearly. So that's what we'll be doing. And to start off, we had TNA Sacrifice this past Saturday. Some big things happened, including Ryan Davis, Big Brother, turned heel. Oh, man. In the main event after they won, looks like Nick Namath turned heel on a bloody Matt Hardy. So going forward, it looks like the Namath brothers will be top heels in the company. Good move or bad move?
I think it's a good move. Literally, we both kind of deferred to one another, and then we both started talking at the same time.
I just love that Rob gave an okay on a podcast.
Yeah,
for all those listeners out there,
we got video on us, so right. Otherwise, what the hell am I been fucking around with these lights for 20 minutes?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out myself, but no, I think Nick Namath turning heel is definitely the thing to do. As entertaining as he can be as a babyface, he is a much better heel. So allowing him to, kind of go at it in a different promotion than what we've seen him in as a heel in the past. Let's see what he can do and spice things up for sure.
Rob, agree?
Yeah, but I don't need him as a heel all the time. I'm 50-50 on him as a babyface. Because he can get long in the tooth as a heel. When he was on the Dirty Dogs, I was like, I just don't care anymore, dude. Just I don't care what you or Robert Roode do. You got to be entertaining as a heel, and he can do it for a while, but then he gets stale.
All right. Well, speaking of entertaining and not getting stale, we have new TNA Knockouts champions, Ash and Heather by Elegance. They had their penance of having to be punk rock, for lack of better word, slaves. They lost a match to the tag champs, and then went through that this past week on the show and got their tag title match and won. I guess the big thing here is Dana Brooke has rebuilt her brand as Ash and is doing a phenomenal job. So I think that's wonderful to see. And it's great to see her with a title. I don't know how many titles she's actually held in her career.
That's a great point. I hadn't even thought about that. That could very well be her first major championship. Because I think that she may have held the 24/7 title, but let's be real. I mean, that doesn't count for very much unless your name is R-Truth. But yeah, it's
or Tozawa.
But nonetheless, I mean, you know, definitely a big win for the former Dana Brooke, like you mentioned, and her being able to step into a gimmick that initially was shit canned by a lot of people. She's embraced it, and obviously now she and Heather are holding the titles. So
she was a 15-time WWE 24/7 champion.
Like I said, bro, unless you're R-Truth, that shit don't mean shit.
And she is currently the Boca Raton Championship Wrestling women's champion. Shout out to her. Guys who run that organization who are awesome. She just won that title, I think.
I don't want to say it was like
this past Sunday.
Shit canned. I felt like the timing came on the heels, obviously, of Toni Storm, and it seemed like a watered-down version of the Toni Storm gimmick with her own valet, although this guy cannot carry her. He's smaller than me. but, again, it's entertaining. She's entertaining in that role.
Yeah. So. And Heather, developing a secondary to her, is again, Toni Storm, you mentioned they did it with Mariah May. This is a way to kind of build up Heather. So they're kind of killing two tag champs with one stone or something, I guess. Does that make any say? Oh, it's true. Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
Is All he right. going to sue us?
I think he has more to worry about.
Perfect. Yeah, I think it's just not something I can legally talk about.
Yeah. speaking of legal, again, Masha Slamovich retains the TNA Knockout Championship over Cora Jade. So we had, Cora in that match, and it was a very strong showing. Masha Slamovich is one of the... Jordynne Grace develops, into this amazing body, into this amazing persona, into someone who has, just kind of evolved. And damn it, Masha Slamovich is right behind her doing the exact same thing into the exact same type. It's crazy that they went from Jordynne to Masha, and man, she's holding it down until she gets to NXT.
Can I say how happy I am that they didn't, that they could abandon the heavy over the top hokey Russian bit? I mean, they don't, she's in her place now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%. And it's great. It's great to see. And again, great things coming from that Sacrifice pay-per-view. Okay. SmackDown. We have new tag team champions, the Street Profits. Oh, congratulations, gentlemen.
Oh, God. I'm getting sick. I'm getting nauseous, dude. I know we're on Facebook, but fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been something like 4 years since the Street Profits have held the championship.
That's not true. I'm sure in that time that they've held Bianca Belair's championship at home. A few times.
Well, obviously they've held her bags. So
yeah.
There you go. But you know what? How are you guys liking this new fire, the heel persona? This is exactly what they should have had with Lashley. And
yes.
Go figure, Bobby Lashley brought them down. I don't know why. That's something I love about Bobby Lashley.
I don't feel like wrestling and I can't talk much. I'm going to be your manager.
I don't know. I'm very interested in seeing what they're going to do for Mania now, with them as tag champs. Are we getting a four-way? Are we getting a three-way? Are we getting a ladder match? Something like that. I don't know. Sky's the limit though for these guys, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the thing is, they both have shown that they're able to change and that they're able to embrace the new roles that they're in. It, as you mentioned, this was something they desperately needed. They were great champions during the pandemic. And then obviously we saw them kind of fall off the face of the earth for a long time from the WWE tag team scene. And so for them to basically, you know, get back active with the heel turn and be, you know, have the rocket strapped to their back is exactly what needed to happen. And yeah, have a multi-team ladder match at Mania. Why not? It'll be fun.
Yeah. Rob?
Good. Yes. I feel this is a variation of everything they've done before, minus the hokey commentary on every WWE match. They were using them. And here's the thing. When they first got to the main roster, and this is going to be really controversial, but they were kind of using them, and this is just, it's going to be bad. They're using them like the Disney Crows. They just sat there and did commentary on everything that was going on and hooping and hollering and shucking and jiving. I said it was going to be bad. And they did that for a long fucking time. And I'm like, this is kind of bad that you just have these two guys in the back just sitting there going, oh, man, what we just saw, that was a man. And I'm going, this is getting really, really bad. And then they get in the ring.
Wait, Rob, you know what? You actually kind of hit on something. You're kind of right. Because at the same time, you had Otis kind of like Dumbo and Chad Gable kind of like the mouse who led him along. I think
Thank
Disney
you for saving me.
Yeah, no problem. I think Disney needs to look into suing them for that time period.
No, but I felt like they were using them just as they didn't know what to do with them. And then they did the solo cup thing. All right. And then you had nowhere you could go with them.
Right.
You could not squeeze any more syrup out of them. So this is really a
Okay, now that got really racist, bro.
What, did I say Mr. Buttersworth? So my thing was, now you're watching this. This is literally a variation on the gimmick they've always been doing. We want the smoke. Now they put a little bit more anger on it, and that's all they needed. But here's the problem. Will they be able to cut better promos? Can they do that?
I don't think they have a problem cutting promos. You just said they were the talking crows.
They were, but they were talking about things that other people were doing. They were not talking about themselves. When they talked about themselves, they were angry when they should have been happy, happy when they should have been angry. They had Bobby Lashley drag them around. I'm hoping that they can cut some really good promos. And the other thing is, you have so many tag teams now. Things, people like the Motor City Machine Guns automatically are falling into the cracks and disappearing. In my assessment, they're getting a little. They're putting them on the back burner just a touch. Maybe they'll put them into the mix and do a multi-tag match at WrestleMania. We got to find some ways for these tag teams to really stand out. Besides, you screwed me over, I'm angry. I need to know what they stand for. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think that John's kind of right here. It could be the start of the splitting of the Street Profits at some point here, with Montez getting single push. I think What's-His-Face, is coming along well too, where he's going to be able to be a singles. Do think Pretty Deadly needs those tag titles, especially if they're going to be doing a musical. You got to have the belts if you're going to be a musical theater, man. You know. Get a little gold around those waists.
Or what would be funny is if they go to like a dollar store and buy some cheap gold belts and say, we deserve to be the champions. And they come out with their own ridiculous belts a la Kevin Owens, but really hokey. Like have them come in with like the Acclaimed belts from, those pink belts.
Yeah.
No context. Just have them walk out with pink belts with scissors. You know,
Travis, Tony Khan has not gone to bed. He is still up, just to let you know. To be honest, I pretty sure if I'm not, let's, can we go to.
I have to ask all of you, you are so great for Collision. How many of you had been to AEW before tonight?
Yeah, he's still going.
He's got baking soda.
Skiing yes. slopes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's ski season here up at Mount Charleston, and Tony's riding the bumps. So, all right, here we go. In SmackDown, it looks like Phoenix and Aleister Black got teased. You know what? Some cool little vignettes. The fans went nuts online because it was obviously Phoenix because of the tattoo.
Yeah.
Which was great because they didn't give it away, but they gave you enough to show like, oh, it's him, and the smart marks know. So, you know, so is this night after WrestleMania? That's the question.
Yes, 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 yes. And I do love the fact that they're going to be keeping Rey Fenix a separate from Penta initially to start. So, you know, that way they're not, you know, leeching off of one another, they can kind of build their own brand. And then when inevitably they do come together and reform the Lucha Brothers or whatever the WWE name is going to be. Yeah. It's going to be an even bigger deal. So it's the smart thing, as John actually just mentioned.
Yep.
Yeah. Then they allow them to highlight Penta and Phoenix on their own is definitely a great point. And you know, it also, it doesn't pigeonhole them as the tag team. And I think that's a big thing, right? That's pretty much all we've seen them as highlighted. Penta got such a good response that I think that they want to see what they can do with Phoenix. And is it, you know, is it two separate stars or is it Edge and Christian? Is Phoenix the Christian to the Penta Edge or the Jeff and Matt Hardy?
Their wrestling styles are very distinct. With Rey Fenix being more high flying and the other just being so dramatic in the ring. He hasn't done the thing where he pulls off his gloves slowly, but all of those little touches of Penta, you don't need them to be in a tag team for a while. You don't need them to.
No, and John makes a point here. There's 5 weeks before Mania. It wasn't 5 weeks of teases for Penta, so who knows if we get Phoenix or Aleister Black before Mania. And also, we still don't know if Aleister Black is the master behind Chad Gable's new luchador. So it's going to be interesting to see where those lead. Speaking of interesting, Stephanie Vaquer becomes the NXT Women's and North American Champion. First off, it was great. Man, NXT at the theater there at Madison Square Garden. Just an incredibly electric crowd. You saw Moose lose to Obafemi. You saw the Hardys defend the TNA Tag Team titles against Fraxium in a great match. But man, the highlight of that show was actually having Stephanie win over Julia. Clean, everything, you know, no nonsense. It's just crazy how fucking good those two are. And the crowd responding to both of them. Do you think
that was too short of a title run for Julia?
She was banged up. So the title change was done out of necessity.
Right.
So she needed time away.
And it could also, you know, mean they might be looking to quickly move her up.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see where it's going, but you know, I think it's a smart move to highlight Stephanie. She is ultra talented, and it gives you now flexibility too with the North American Championship, right? One of those women who are extremely talented down there in NXT is going to get a shot to showcase that title. And we might even be seeing tag titles coming, I think. I really have a feeling that that's possibly where we're headed. So the big question, of course, you know, stir it up a little bit. Steve, AEW fuck up by not securing contracts with either of those women, you know, not when WWE was looking at them in that time frame, but let's say 6 months before that, a year before that even.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, hindsight's always 20/20, but I definitely agree. They, you know, I think that it was a huge misstep that Stephanie was on an AEW pay-per-view and then immediately signed with WWE. So obviously she, you know, had a blowaway match with Mercedes. And then what happens? She signs with WWE and there's all this buzz around her. So it was a huge fumble by Tony. And to be honest, it's, you know, just another in a long line of fumbles for Tony.
So what you're saying is that Tony dropped the eight ball.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And this is a great point too. The puppet is the most over woman in the AEW women's division.
Well, Harley is now rocking a luchador mask and is a valet, even though she's had some great matches.
Dude, I don't under fucking stand that shit at all. She's gorgeous. Why the fuck do you have her wearing a lucha mask?
Here's the thing. I thought I had missed something like an episode before she just came out in a lucha mask and she's a valet now, even though they were building her as a,
she's Harley Graham.
Right. Yeah. That's what the fuck was I watching? I didn't have to pay for those tickets, right?
Actually, we got to talk about that, Rob. So, you know, that's a big thing here. Since the John Cena heel turn, WWE has had 5 title changes: Stephanie, Street Profits, Io Sky, Sean Spears, and LA Knight have all had title wins within, like, what is that, 10 days? I mean, 2 weeks. It's crazy for those people who say, oh, WWE doesn't do anything, et cetera, et cetera. Now you have a road to WrestleMania that titles are changing. Shit is going this way and that way. You have cats and dogs making love. I don't know what we're going to end up seeing.
It's smart. It's not the title changes that impress me. It's the fact that they've gone through Europe and they're hitting up different cities. So you get different crowd perspective, different energy, different chants. Instead of we're hitting Chattanooga again, we're in the Bumblefuck Arena, 15,000. No, I'm in Barcelona, Spain. Great. Now I get to see all of the energy of a completely different country, one that they rarely ever visit. And now because we're bringing the show to a brand new country, for all intents and purposes, we're going to change some titles. We're going to give these people a show versus when you go to Saudi Arabia and you'd sit through 3 hours of some bullshit at first for the first two, crown jewels and nothing happened. And I went, all right, well, now if I know they're going to go to another country, nothing's going to happen. That's not the case anymore. And you get to see the electricity of those people.
Yeah. And you also, like, you got to see on SmackDown, Gunther versus Axiom, because Axiom has the Spanish roots. So a match that we wouldn't see otherwise opens that door too, because it gives them someone they can relate to that they know. And Axiom put on a fucking show against Gunther. So the opportunities are also translating that these guys are performing at top level because they're getting the chance to, which is always a huge thing. This is exactly, John, a great match to throw throwback to the NXT UK days. And that's exactly what you're seeing. You're seeing a break of just being the regular stagnant stuff into kind of a breath of fresh air. And it's been very, very interesting. Now going on to AEW, Kenny Omega welcomes new challenger. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's Kenny Omega welcomes new challengers.
His hair doesn't look like that anymore.
No, but this guy's does. So look, I mean, put sunglasses on that motherfucker and you got the same guy. Okay.
They're the same picture.
Right. No. And I'm sure that Zuck's tongue is like that too.
I'm sure Zuckerberg's also wrestled a 9-year old, except no one was videotaped.
Wow. Oh man. That's like that's like having a Stein, you know, an Epstein. So
I see what you did there.
So we got this, this tournament that, Kenny, you know, basically, asked for, and, we played out on Dynamite. You had Orange Cassidy and you had the now introduced Speedball Mike Bailey, both win matches. And then you had, right here at Collision, we saw, firsthand Ricochet and Mark Davis win to get into this fatal four-way to bring us the number one contender. Speaking of Mike Bailey, how was it on your debut? Did you like
well, and I performed admirably. Thank you. And now I have to get back to my Megazord.
I mean, you know, Mike Bailey coming. So the thing I noticed, and I don't know if you agree.
He didn't look that bad this time. They actually made him look a little bit more threatening and not as comical, even though he still has a 1991 mullet.
That's part of the gimmick, bro.
I know, but still.
His name is changing to 8-Ball Mike.
Via Tony Khan. 8-Ball.
That's what he thought he was signing. He thought he was signing a deal for Coke, and he actually got a wrestler who is just as white as cocaine.
I always make sure I brush my teeth before I go on the show because I know that's going to come up.
Just in case.
Just in case. Got to make him look good before he kicks him out.
The thing I noticed, Steve, is that you got the teaser for him, but it was only one teaser for him, and it was on Collision. The one thing was that the 42 people in the audience who knew who Mike Bailey was reacted to him, which is great. But he's not a household name. And it's like you were hiding this name. And why not hype up the fact that, wow, you know, a week before, you know, don't start the fucking tournament the night of and then have this guy come in as a mystery.
Okay, Speedball Mike Bailey.
That made no sense.
Speedball Mike Bailey. Here you go. Speedball Mike Bailey. He can kick.
But announce the tournament, you know, see, that's the problem is you had it after the pay-per-view and then you announce it. So now give it a fucking week before you start the tournament so that you can.
That means let it marinate.
Yeah. I completely agree. And, I have to say, it wasn't in the exact same methodology that I said would happen on this show, but yet again, the over-under segment was a success. I said we would have a debut, and this was before it was announced that there would be a wild card entrant or that there would be an international championship tournament that was going on. So there you go. We might actually end up with Kenny Omega versus Speedball Mike Bailey, even though it'll be Ricochet. But it very well done. As far as, you know, him coming in, I was curious as to what his gear was going to look like, if they were going to, you know, kind of make it look a little bit higher tier. Guy looks great, and the wrestling ability, as we all know, is top notch. So I think that, you know, we're going to have some good days ahead with Mike Bailey and AEW. Thank God, though,
Tony Schiavone. Yeah. Did mention, so we all know that he wrestles in his bare feet. Yep. Thank God. I didn't notice. I couldn't see.
Hey, man. Got to paint the picture for those people at home.
He wrestles in his bare feet. Did you know that? I mean, and for those people who didn't have eyes that work, this guy, he's not wearing shoes. You know, it's got to hurt if you don't wear shoes. That's one heck of a wrestler.
Well, to be fair, some people will have AEW or WWE on in the background as background noise. So they might not be watching, you know, exactly what's going on. So
I did too. At least that was mentioned. as soon as I heard, I was like, I was zoned out. I was doing something else. I'm cleaning the shelf. And then I heard he wrestles in his bare feet. And I'm like, holy shit.
What the fuck?
I got to watch this.
Exactly.
My whole shelf, everything fell down. Oh, it was God. All fucked up, but it was worth it because I got to see this guy wrestle in his bare feet. It was fucking
that's
amazing.
That's damn true.
Hey, you know what? That's one hell of a wrestler, guys. If I had a penny for every time you said that's one hell of a wrestler or that's one hell of a match, I'd be rich as fuck. I'd be a wrestler. I'd be like, I'll figure this out. You know, we'll figure this out. Give me some steroids. I want to look like Leo Rush by the end of the year.
Travis, if people had AEW on his background noise, their ratings would be higher. Yeah, it's the green noise that they're trying to sell on the app. That should be the AEW should have the sleeping app. There you go. In that case,
now
it would
excuse
be
the- me, because we're going to be anticipating the return of the clam digger. Come on, you don't love to hear that?
I'm just saying, like AEW sleep apnea.
Oh,
Jesus.
All right. So what are you going to do? You're going to put the Juju Katami on him because that's the best move, the Juju Katami.
All right. Collision. We're there. Rob and myself. DJ Impact made his way off the cruise boat to join us with his lovely wife.
Gives himself as a higher rate on a boat.
Ah.
And Simon Street joined us as well. And so he's doing fine. We got to see a FTR versus Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong match that ended with FTR defeating them in this rematch that was 20 minutes long. They announced the 4 minutes left in this match, which it's like really, really, I'm going to Rob. Oh my God. They're going to have it because they announced 4 minutes left in this match with like 3 minutes of show left.
Yep.
So I'm going, oh my God, are they going to have it where it just runs out? Like, if we don't
time limit
see a
draw.
Finish.
I was like, oh, yeah. Don't do a time
you have,
limit.
You
draw.
Have to go to social media to see the ending of the match.
The end of the match, right. Not even a time limit draw, but just it fucking goes past. So it goes off the air. So it ends right, you know, about 2 minutes left in the show.
That was one hell of a show.
Here's my problem with it. Again, just too long. Just cut it down a bit. Take out certain things. There's redundancy in these matches. The buildup is usually so slow, but those last, 5 minutes are usually fire, right? So give us a little bit less and maybe add something. If you took away shit from that Mark versus Mark match, which, God damn it. Mark Briscoe is a fucking national treasure who's just like, Tony is just like, who can I shit on right now? Oh, Mark Briscoe, come on. Let me just rub it all over you. You know, Jericho's got his fucking title. You know, Mark Davis is fucking beating him because fucking Archer and Cage are coming out and destroying him for no real reason because we all know Ricochet is going to win that fucking match.
Everyone's career dies.
Why did you not put three baby faces versus Ricochet? I thought that would have been great. You know, have Orange work a little heel, you know, against Mike Bailey, you know.
Here's
and by the
thing,
way, I can't wait to see Mike Bailey take those baby kicks from Orange.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, they're going to have a kickoff. Yeah. That's going to be
but
dope.
For their big match, this 20-minute match, and the ending is we're not going to shake your hand. We won. We're not going to shake your hand. It was so anticlimactic, so goddamn boring of an ending is we won, and now we're going to be stuck-up bitches about it? And I'm supposed to get behind FTR who comes out to save every babyface getting the shit kicked out of them? So now why are they being snobby little fucking whiny bitches when they're winning? You won. Shake the fucking guy's hand. Why are you going to the heel, to the heel side of the Undisputed Kingdom, which has no idea what the fuck they are? Every other week, they're heel, they're face. They're heel, they're face. They're heel, they're face. Oh, we're heels, we're faces. We're all three scrappy guys. You know, these guys look like they couldn't beat anyone's ass. Kyle O'Reilly's the only one. He's walking around. If you ever notice when he's cutting a promo, he's got like a fucking sensor on his arm for fucking diabetes. Looks like he's trying to cut a commercial for like One Touch Alert. You know, I mean, none of these guys look like they're really that threatening in the ring. What they have for them is their entertainment value, which is boils down to somebody screaming and whoever is interviewing them. And then they get in the ring and they perform so-so. Kyle O'Reilly really covering everything. Kyle O'Reilly is the only good wrestler they really have out of the three of them. He's the only one landing great kicks. He's the only one taking the chops, taking the abuse. He's one who'll eat the pinfall. Yeah.
First off, John said Mark Davis only won because he's the one who will eat the pinfall.
That's absolutely right.
And John, have you seen Mark Davis? He's not only eating the pinfall, he's eating fucking probably Mike Bailey.
He's eating the breadsticks, the unlimited salad, the unlimited soup.
Yeah, he's eating everything back there in catering. No, I was laughing because Steve was obviously reacting to you burying Roddy
here's my thing. What have I been saying all night? If you're going to do something, do it, be entertaining about it. And their gimmick is they're three annoying guys. You know what they look like? They look like the fucking three Golden Girls, the way they come out, the Undisputed Kingdom. And where are the other two? Where are the other two from their little group who never
They've
did
basically
anything?
Been written off TV, bro. I doubt that we're going to see Bennett or Taven again.
Well, for fuck's sake, at least bring Maria Kanellis back and we could see the twins.
Oh, she's gone. She's gone. She's not even with the company anymore.
I know. So I said, bring her back. You know, there's nothing entertaining about that group. Let them die like the foundation, the factory, whatever the fuck, you know. Because I asked you, where's QT Marshall? Whatever became of him. Right. Gone. Good. Let's get rid of them too.
Bro, I still can't believe that you buried the shit out of Roddy Strong. That threw me for a fucking loop.
Hey! Steve, this is all I got.
He might be extremely annoying on the mic, but he's fucking great in the ring. So that's I get you, but wow.
Let's put it this way. I did fall asleep a little bit before that, and I woke up and it was NXT 2019. So that was nice. All right. Speaking of, you said death, Rob, and that brings me to, I don't get it. Adam Copeland this week said he admits he didn't fully understand Death Rider's angle at first. Well, for me, it was confusing at first. Like, I didn't fully understand what was happening, he said, of the Death Rider. So I wanted to try and figure that out along with the audience, I think, and then go, all right, what can the story be here? The story can be you take them out because it's always the numbers that they have the advantage with. Okay, let's do something about that. Let's tell a story there. And more than anything, the beginning of the thing is, okay, you attacked all of my friends on television, right? Okay, so yeah, I'm coming back. Time to step in and give it a shot, he continued. Anything I'm involved in, I try to at least add some layers to it. And when putting the things together, going, okay, here's the package for the match. You got to build in the beats for the package to sum up everything. So you can watch that 2 minutes right before the match. You caught up. You got it. You know, all right. And now I'm looking forward to this thing. I think more than anything, that's my mentality. It's just try to craft something or be part of helping craft something where you can get those beats and those tent poles throughout. Right? You can insert it to a package and get everybody caught up before, you know, they watch the Eckler match, and but still, that to me is what hooks me. Interview with John Alba of Sports Illustrated. By the way, this guy still thinks he's in WWE, and they have packages building up to matches. That makes sense.
If we go by that match, he had packages inserted into him because pretty fucking horrible. So he did all of that working, and then they inserted Christian into him, and he got the full feel of the patriarchy. And then Christian got to feel what it's like to have some asphyxiation while he's being jerked off by John Moxley, because he gets choked out in 2 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, thank God I didn't pay for this. Although watching my computer retrain every 3 seconds and hearing every 3 seconds, because I thought it was going to be on Amazon, and then I still had to pay for it. So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So. So, first off, the funniest thing about this is, honestly, not once during this did he go, so I finally got it. I understand what it is, and this is what they're going for. Like
he weaved it back to himself
because that's how everybody is. No one except for John Moxley knows the end game for this fucking bullshit. Seriously, prove me wrong on that. Like, what the fuck?
But here's my thing. One thing with that match, you have every match I've ever seen in wrestling, even if you're the biggest novice and never seen sports before. When there is a title on the line, the title is on the line. Where was the fucking title? Did I miss something?
Still in a fucking briefcase, bro.
When you have a, you got to lift the title up and go, this is what we're fighting for in the match. Otherwise, you never had a match in the first place. So you're pissing me off right out of the gate, because if Mox was like, yo, man, I'm the baddest guy and none of you little sons of bitches deserve this, I'm going to show you one last time what you're fighting for. Bring out the goddamn title, Marina. Oh, they bashed your head in with a concerto. Still, bring out the goddamn title. And she comes out with gauze in her head and they wave it around, throw some water on her, and fine, you know, like, oh, yeah, show us what you can do. All right, bring out the goddamn. All right. None of you are going to win this anyway, because I don't know when this story ends.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you go from that to this, and that is love will tear us apart. Toni Storm compares her AEW Revolution match with Mariah May to a breakup. Toni Storm recently compared that match to a breakup, offering a unique perspective on their heated rivalry. In an interview, Storm explained that the intense emotions and personal stakes involved in the match felt similar to the end of a relationship, where tension and unresolved issues come to a head. She emphasized how the buildup to the match had a lot of emotional weight, with both wrestlers putting everything on the line. Storm's analogy sparked internet interest amongst fans, as it showcased the depth of their feud and the stakes involved in a high-profile encounter at Revolution. There you go. Very simple.
Yep. That's it. Make people give a shit.
All right. And, you did it once, guys. Now just repeat.
Well, and you built it to that, right? Everything in that match, again, made sense. That's why I said last week, I think the Ospreay match should have been the next pay-per-view. Because you had your two major stories that built up to these bloodbaths on the same fucking show, in which your main event was that fucking piece of shit.
Well, they had to sell their 10,000 plus tickets to the pay-per-view. Realistically, that's the only real explanation for why they loaded that card up as much as they did. Because, I admit to say it last week, but I never did.
We weren't complaining about it outside of the main event. Everything else was good for the most. They had a ring that was the right size. They had a fairly full audience. You know,
they had the crew.
Oh yeah, the Tony Khan chant. Hey guys, and when he first said that, I thought he was talking about the tag team for a second. That new. Right. That was my first thought, but then he brought me back. We got the lighting guys, we got the camera guys, crew. I'm like, oh, he's talking about the what?
It was the stupidest fucking Tony Khan promo I've ever.
Because he started off with wrestlers, he started doing wrestlers, and then when he said crew, I was like, oh, we're hyping those guys?
He was 1 second away from going, how about those chairs? Oh, man, those chairs are great. And, oh, my God, the walls in this place. Wow.
Hey, guys, we've got Cracker and Jack's, man, in the box, $8, man. And don't forget imported beers, man, $11.99. Don't forget to tip the waitstaff. It sounded like a open micer. That's the way he sounds like. He sounds like a fucking open micer. Like, you know, who's runs – When a comedian runs out things to say, they'll say, hey, give it up for your host. They'll say, give it up for your host. Don't remember his name. And they'll say, don't forget to tip the waitress.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, it's crazy out there, man. It's crazy out there. Oh, man, it's crazy out there, man. That crew, man. Give it up for the crew. And I'm, what the fuck is he talking about? I'm looking at you, Matt. I'm like, and I looked at it, and I'm like, what is he talking about?
The ironic thing was the whole time the red light was on. Get off stage, Tony. The red light is on, and there are multiple red lights, Tony. Just go. You're done. Your time's up, buddy.
You know what I want to do from now on? I'm gonna show up there. I'm gonna put on a black polo, and I'm gonna come with the cane, like they used to do on Showtime at the Apollo. And then the audience will just boo him, and I'll come out dressed up like Sandman Sims, you know, clown, and I'll do a shuffle, a chuck and jive, and kick his ass off the stage. I have a bucket of water and a hook.
Hey, Rob, you don't have to do that. They already have Prince Nana.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to tell you a joke that somebody told, you know, off the show, because it's really bad. And somebody did at a roast battle, and it was a white chick versus a black chick, and they did a wicked joke. Oh, and it didn't go the way you would think. And the audience was so shocked that there was a gasp, an audible gasp. And then, like, slow laughter as it rolled in. And the other girl was just like, she didn't know what to do. She was like a whimper came out. We'll talk about that one off air.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, this slow laughter, this one, this got me wonderfully on the internet this week. And I think it's worth bringing up. We're here to destroy you. This is great. An anonymous AEW executive, this comes from WrestleVotes, an anonymous AEW executive, it comes via Dave Meltzer. Ah, how about that? An anonymous AEW executive reportedly believes that Adam Copeland and other former WWE veterans are spies set to undermine AEW from within, claiming their presence is part of a larger plan to kill the company. There's a theory that WWE strategically allowed certain wrestlers like Edge and Dean Ambrose to jump to AEW, not just as free agents, but as covert operatives to weaken the company from within. By sending over well-known WWE stars, the idea is that WWE gains inside knowledge of AEW's business, backstage environment, and long-term plans. These wrestlers, while seemingly loyal to AEW, could be influencing decisions, creating backstage tensions, or even working to devalue the brand over time. The presence of ex-WWE talent in AEW has already led to criticism that the company feels too much like WWE type light promotion, potentially alienating its hardcore fan base. If AEW were to falter, WWE would stand to benefit by reabsorbing top stars and reinforcing its monopoly on the wrestling industry. While there's no concrete proof of this, the idea that WWE would use such tactics isn't far-fetched, given its history of aggressive competition. Holy motherfucker of God. Steve, why is that complete bullshit? And is it just not the most entertainingly stupid thing that you've heard all week?
You know, I swear to God, I had not even heard that. And so just now, like, I'm hearing all this shit for the first time. And what the actual fuck? Like, I know that there are some people that are pretty conspiracy theory starved in the world. Trust me. But my God, this is another level. Like, this is another fucking level to that shit. So no, it's absolute bullshit. They're not being sent from WWE to kill the company. Get fucked. Oh my God.
No, wait a minute. Okay. No, wait. No, I've got nothing. I was going to try to think of something sarcastic. I've got nothing. The fact of the matter is, yes, they did bring in a lot of people, but
yeah.
Okay.
That's the nature of the business now. I mean, honestly, if you look at it, dude, how much shit did people give AEW for taking ex-WWE guys? And now, if you look at what's happening, it's almost the inverse. Now WWE is signing all the AEW guys. So where's the narrative on that? Why aren't people in such an uproar about that? You know,
but Steve.
Well, hold on. Is this an uproar? I'm not. Is anyone online in social media world actually thinking this is real? Is there any people putting steam behind this?
It's a Meltzer plant. I had never heard it. Yeah, it's a Meltzer plant, obviously, by saying that some random executive in AEW believes this. But what's very interesting, you know, what you just said, Steve, it's funny because there is that other side of AEW. I've noticed fans who do the trolling of, well, oh, now they're in WWE, so of course you like Ricky Starks now, or you know thing is going on. And it's interesting because it's not Tony's fault, right? No, it's not Tony Khan's fault. No, of course not. Because I mean, Tony is just an innocent guy who's just hiring these guys that he loves and he's bringing in spots. Here's the funniest part about this. This is the same shit that they said about WCW and WWE. And it was like, the fact of the matter is that I think, you know, we talked about MJF saying that other wrestlers probably pay attention. They should pay attention because they learn about what's going on in the business by watching each other's products. Very true. But what's funny about it is that there's not a competition. Why do we keep insisting there's a competition? They're the second biggest company because they have a TV deal that allows them to be, right? If you take that TV deal away, the company goes away and TNA becomes the second biggest because they have a TV deal that allows them to be. That's it. It's not that you're aiming or you've ever been aiming. You shouldn't have been thinking like that. And when you took Cody Rhodes out of the equation, that's when you started seeing the problems of the decline. And then you brought in Punk, and Punk brought you eyes. It was your job to retain those eyes, and you put him in a position to where he fucking had to figure out how to get out of there. He saw what was going on. So you're internally, it's not that you have spies or people doing this or that. No, you have people literally going, this guy's a fucking moron. And some people go, I can take advantage of this. And some people go, I can't work here. And we talked about Kazarian. I can't work here. Kazarian has never said a bad thing about it. Just said, I got to go work somewhere else. And he did.
It would be stupid to say something bad about it because, God forbid, down the road, somebody competent gets their hands on it. And now you've alienated yourself from the company. You never want to do that.
But it's even more than that. It's the truth of the matter, right? Kaz is not a guy. He's been in the business long enough. He's not a guy who's like fucking playing sides or anything. He's just like honest. Like, hey, man, I felt comfortable being around the guys who were older. I felt that there was just this immaturity backstage. So I knew that I wasn't in a place that I should be. So I wanted to get somewhere else eventually, right? And when he had the chance, he did. That's it. That's all these guys who are going to WWE are doing. It's you have not, again, you saw, you know, when Starks talked about the fact that he doesn't really know what happened, why he wasn't being used or this or that, but he wasn't being utilized. And it just happens that, you know, Cody was gone and Punk was gone. The guys who were for him were gone. Maybe that there was something to that. I don't know. But eventually I had to move on. And so it's just funny to think that, you know, these guys are spies. But yeah, you wouldn't say that about Brody Lee, right? you know, it's exactly. So very interesting. Okay, speaking of interesting, this week BET declared Booker T the greatest black wrestler of all time. Here's the 15 greatest black wrestlers ever, according to BET. 15, Jazz. 14, Shelton Benjamin. 13, Naomi. 12, Jacqueline. 11, Big E. 10, Devon Dudley. 9, Bianca Belair. 8, Bobby Lashley. 7, Ron Simmons slash Farouk. 6, Junkyard Dog. 5, Sasha Banks slash Mercedes Moné. 4, Mark Henry. 3, Kofi Kingston. 2, The Rock. And 1, Booker T. Any thoughts, objections? We'll start with you, Rob, since, you know, you.
All right.
You got a good perspective on this with wearing a Raiders hat.
That would make me, this would have to be the top 15 Mexican wrestlers. I don't have a problem with this one. I really don't have a problem with this. When you're talking, I can't find anything wrong with it. Booker T is number one. I would have had, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Was The Rock's dad part black?
No, the Rock's dad was all black.
All right. Well, I would have had him on that list. I don't see him there. Nope. He definitely deserved to be on that list because you're not going to have The Rock without him. He's a big part of that, of all of that. Maybe that's the only thing. And I guess I could say I would want Kofi Kingston's tag partner in there, but he hasn't accomplished much by the way of belts outside of being lumped into a tag team. So everything that I see there makes sense. Minus Rocky Senior.
Steve, any?
Yeah, I think that it actually makes a lot of sense. To be honest, a lot of mainstream outlets, whenever they put out their, you know, top 10, top 15 lists, a lot of times they don't factor in, you know, championship reigns, and instead they focus on mainstream draw and things of that nature, most notable names. But you know, it is great to see Booker T get rewarded, because if you look at his career, obviously with WCW, WWE, TNA, I mean, the guy produced in every promotion that he worked in, and he was a solid draw, man. Everywhere that he went, he found a way to take certain gimmicks that otherwise might seem like, you know, that they might put somebody into creative purgatory, and he made him perfect. So I have zero issue with this list. Good to see representation for Mark Henry, up there near the top as well. Even Mercedes Moné being at number 5 on the list, is pretty interesting. I think that a lot of people, you know, that get wrapped up in strictly tribalism will dismiss it, but she has had a great impact on women's wrestling, and that point needs to be stated.
Yeah, not tribalism, egotistical bitchism. I think that if Mercedes was making the list, she'd be number one. And I personally would replace her with Virgil. So,
King of Meat Sauce Mountain, huh?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, R.I.P. Here we go. Mandy is money. Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose opened up about her WWE earnings, how afterwards that when she left it, it's far surpassed what she made in the company, stating, "I think people think WWE money in general is crazy, right? I talked to a lot of people in the past. You got to be doing really well at WWE. Well, while she acknowledged she made good money, she emphasized the hitting costs that come with being a WWE superstar. Independent contractor, you're paying for your own hotels, your own cars, your own gas, your own food. You're paying your own clothes you need to be wearing. And not only that, we have a certain look to maintain the part. So we have to have our ring gear. It costs a lot of money. She then said after leaving WWE, she was shocked how much she was making. Within 3 months, I got my earnings check and I was blown away because basically what I make in a year from WWE, the bonus check alone was what I made as her annual salary in WWE. She explained that this happened with no major promotion on social media, which made her question her past pay. It's almost like, am I underpaid or is it just so lucrative? Is this the future? Is this what I'm missing out on? She recalled the moment she realized how lucrative her new venture was, saying, let's get back to getting fired, driving home from Orlando and basically just watching my account go skyrocket. I've never checked something so much because it was almost like comical. I'm like, this is wild. The buzz surrounding her name only increased traffic to her page, leading her to see it as a massive financial opportunity. That's when I kind of realized at the moment, okay, now this was just a passive income thing. And now turning it into a gold mine, in a sense. She concluded by emphasizing how her life has completely changed since leaving WWE. I went from grinding 300 plus days out of the year, falling on my back, to basically 10 timing my money in 1 year. I wake up when I want to. I don't have to work if I don't want to. I don't take bumps. I'm not on the road 300 days. Basically, I make 10 times the amount of money that I made in WWE in 1 year. That's crazy. That comes from the Power Alphas podcast. So it's all true, right? Social media, especially beautiful women, they get a lot of traffic, a lot of money from that traffic. The one thing that Mandy did not acknowledge, and that is she would never have had this traffic if it wasn't for the fact that she made her name in the WWE. Fair enough.
I don't think she would argue that ultimately. I'm sure she's happier to not, obviously she's happier to not have to work the grueling schedule she had, but
right.
Laying on your back is better than taking a bump on your back. So
wait a minute. Did someone say taking a bump on your back?
Oh,
thanks for sucking my cock. Now take this as a reward. All right. Jesus
Christ.
You know, that's just, oh boy, Tony, don't do it, Tony. Oh my God. Oh, suck that down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, it's just interesting again. You know, the idea that, yeah, she's making a lot of money because of her internet presence. And she doesn't have to take all the, you know, the brutality and traveling, etc. But again, the thing is you've made your name through the brand. You don't have to wrestle because you did wrestle. And that's the importance when I tell young kids that you have to create your brand and you have to build your social media following. That's how you get the attention of the WWE. And they're not dummies. Look at the people they've been bringing in. The reason Logan Paul is there is because of his social media skills and what he brought to that. He just happens to be able to wrestle. So that's just a little thing I want to bring up. And again, just, you know, anything to show Mandy for a couple of seconds. Can't go wrong. All right, Sensei Steve, your AEW over under for this week.
All right. So as I mentioned earlier, last week on the show, I said that the over-under would be over .5 and that there would be a debut or a return on AEW Dynamite this past week. So, and that was, again, with only two talking segments mentioned. So, yeah, trust your bookie on that. Elsewhere this week, we get the rematch of Coke versus Mox, this time in a street fight. So they went 26 minutes at the pay-per-view. They will definitely go under 20 minutes on this show, but that's not the bet. The bet is Mox or Cope will get color, will juice, will bleed within the first 3 minutes of the match.
Three minutes.
Yeah, man, they're not going to waste time. They saw how, you know, two of the other matches that went on before them had blood and, you know, had all sorts of craziness. And let's be real, they worked a pretty, you know, vanilla wrestling match. So with the street fight stipulation, yeah, I think, you know, no one bleeds like Jon Moxley. And as we're finding out, Copeland is looking for any excuse possible to do something stupid. So they both win. And the fans get to watch them beat the shit out of each other for 20 minutes, hopefully in a much more entertaining match than at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I think that Copeland, he's menopausal now. So I think Moxley is the one who bleeds. All right, Mr. President, a little pontification for this week.
Well, first of all, if you want to see the president live on Wednesday night at 11 o'clock, 4670 South Decatur Boulevard in Las Vegas, we have a show going on called The Spotlight, and you can find out more on Lex Las Vegas Comedy or on my own page, where we're having a vote, and yours truly is going to get an award for the best impersonator of the year.
This is my
Alexi award for that. So if you want to meet Barack Obama or Donald Trump, the greatest president that you've ever had, in fact, quite honestly, so many people have said that I need to get AEW. I can win it in a settlement right now if I wanted to, because I lost a bet on the Jacksonville Jaguars and I had insurance on the match. And I told Chad Khan, you know, if I don't get AEW, we're going to have a problem, because I'm going to be their inaugural presidential champion. We're going to have the presidential championship series award. And no, none of the Japanese guys, no Kenta, no Kazuchika Okada, none of that. No rain. It will be no rainmaking in this Donald Trump presidential awards challenge. In fact, we're not even going to have Orange Cassidy, because they don't know where he's from. They don't even know where he weighs. So sad. They're wherever, whatever, you don't get to wrestle, okay? We want people who deliver real kicks, okay? I want real kicks, all right? He's got his hands in his pocket. He's playing with himself, so sad. So very sick what they allow on these programs. We're going to make AEW great again. And we're going to...
We're going to take an internet dump at this point. But check out, if you want to go check it out. Again, Rob, when is that?
Wednesday night at 11. It's at Medokuro Japanese sushi place in Las Vegas, which has been repurposed to being a comedy club.
Well, all right.
It's 11 o'clock and it is 4670 South Decatur Boulevard. So take Trop and Decatur and make the right if you are coming from the Strip. And it's half a block away.
There we go. Speaking of Las Vegas this week, today, actually, the honorary pace car driver was Chelsea Green for the Pennzoil 400 here at the Speedway in Las Vegas. Congratulations to Chelsea. This week, we got a quote from Bully Ray: get that strap away from Jon Moxley and get it away from him on Sunday, referring to the past pay-per-view. And let's try to forget the epic failure that the Death Rider storyline was. End of the story. Moxley, go away for a while and come back as the babyface. You should be in AEW. Another end of story. Bully Ray also said on Busted Open, I love MJF to death. I'm a big Max fan, both personally and professionally, but I refuse to review a match in which a tombstone pile driver on top of a chair is using a match only for the guy who took the move to get back into the ring and win the match. To me, it is completely uncalled for, and it does not fly with me. It goes against everything I believe in professional wrestling. Steve is jacking off at that.
That's what I jack off to. Thank you.
Yes. Well,
oh, look at that. Look at that.
Jade Cargill posted Kool-Aid and in a wine glass, and Trinity Fatu responded more like shit in a toilet. Oh god, I love when they do shit like this. Someone posted a picture of The Miz being AEW All Elite. This was Ace Humphreys. I said, opinions on this, wrestling fans, would you like to see The Miz in AEW? And Ricochet said, I'd embarrass him on the mic. Interesting. Coming from Ricochet.
Heel Ricochet is the best Ricochet.
The Miz would be the Undisputed Kingdom by the end of the week.
Probably.
Very true. This was a really cool little picture of Zilla Fatu. He got face painted by Jeff Hardy, which that's pretty awesome right there. Speaking of painting your face, why is MJF doing blackface? Anyone know?
Shit.
Because he wants to hurt people. Hurt people. They did the same thing when what's her name was dating Bobby Lashley. They put CJ Perry in blackface, if you remember.
Yeah.
She did blackface, and she did her hair in a bun, and then she had the hoop earrings. They made her look as black Puerto Rican as possible. They basically made her Dominican for Bobby Lashley, and he's Panamanian. So they were like, yeah.
Hey, if nothing else, I do have to at least draw attention to the fact that they did explain why Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin were not on Dynamite, and then they had the MVP, MJF, kind of square off in the ring. So that could be planting seeds for some dissension as well. And I know that we always talk about AEW not planting seeds or, you know, giving anything storyline-wise, building things up. If they follow through with this, then obviously this could be one of those rare instances where they're actually trying to build story. I don't know. Could be wrong. If they choose to follow up on it.
But who is the bigger heel in that faction? Because they've already had Shelton Benjamin look like a babyface in a few matches. They're playing it close
to the
vest.
People don't want to boo Bobby Lashley. They want to cheer for an unstoppable monster. It's why fucking Wardlow was over as much as he was. And why Tony Khan dropping the ball with Wardlow was so egregious. Fans want that big badass that they can cheer for that's going to go in there and beat the shit out of people. It's what they're trying to do with Powerhouse Hobbs right now. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of badasses who could beat the shit out of people, who is amazing and big. This was a headline from back in the day. The night a midget defeated Andre the Giant, and this referred to compared to Andre the Giant, Jerry Lawler is barely visible. Yet on the remarkable night, Lawler showed size isn't important when the will to win burns bright, and you know. Andre, he learned every wrestler, no matter what his size, must be taken seriously. This right here was in an article back in the early 80s, and Vince Sr. Saw that, and that was when Vince Sr. said, fuck you, Lawler, never going to let you book Andre the Giant in Memphis again. And all the tensions started before Lawler eventually joined WWF in 1992. And it was basically because Jerry, was called a midget and he beat Andre. And Vince looked at that as taking the value away from his top guy who, he loaned out to him. Just crazy fascinating. Rob, your favorite country act is... What country artist?
My favorite country act?
Yeah.
Little Nas X.
Okay. Steve, how about yours?
I don't listen to country, bro.
You don't have one country artist that you like?
Give me Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks. All right, great. Mine is the West Texas Rednecks.
Yes.
Can't go wrong. Best country band ever. Hey, good news, especially for you, Rob, since you love her so much. Looks like Jade Cargill is back in AEW.
Oh, man. Ouch. Shots fired.
Speaking of AEW, we at the Vegas Bad Boys find this very disturbing, and we've launched a GoFundMe. to help Kenny Omega dress like a champion. Please donate to get Kenny some wearable clothes so he doesn't look like a 12-year-old boy in the middle of the ring wearing his plastic toy belt. Good God, Omega. You know, just grow up a little bit. Speaking of looking, the trick is to tell her you look like Chris Jericho, but not tell her what area you're referring to. You know what? Big news in WWE 2K. Nick Khan is a big fan of New Jack, and that's why he's included in the WWE 2K25 DLC. New Jack was a shock to all of us on the VC, Visual Complex, and marketing side. New Jack was someone who I never expected would make it into our franchise. It's funny because it was actually Nick Khan who recommended and suggested that we add New Jack as DLC. When I heard that information from my marketing rep, I was like, really? They were like, oh yeah, he's a big fan. I believe he's working on the paperwork to make this thing a reality. This was a huge surprise. Talk about a curveball. That thing came out of not left field. It came out of a different game altogether. So I'm really excited to have New Jack as part of the game this year. And we have some really cool things planned for New Jack. So this is Brian Williams, PWIinsider.com. Friend of the show, Brian Williams. This is a throwback to the first time in wrestling, the Hulk battles the Giant and 18 others and wrestling greats in a battle royal. Last one in the ring wins. This, of course, was Saturday night's main event before WrestleMania 3, where Andre the Giant got a hold of Hogan, gave him a headbutt, and eliminated him from the battle royal, making it look like Andre was inevitably a threat to Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 3. This cool picture came out. It's CM Punk, Eddie Guerrero, and Rey Mysterio without his mask back in the day. In 2019, Rey Mysterio shared a throwback photo on Instagram featuring a triple threat match between himself, Punk, and Eddie Guerrero. Punk's response reflected a profound respect for Mysterio and the late Eddie Guerrero. People should know how good Eddie really was. He was in a rough spot, recently fired. Home front was turbulent. He came to the show and looked tired, said to me, I hate three-ways. If it's okay with you, can you and Ray put something together and just call it to me? I wasn't sure that was possible. He didn't miss a beat. And you, Ray, so open to giving to a little punk indie kid. You laid out a masterpiece, and I wasn't sure I could keep up. One of the early times I remember being in the ring and thinking to myself, this is fucking magic. A pleasure and honor. I miss Eddie. Truly fortunate I worked with him as many times as I did. I feel the same about you, Ray. Legends who treat me like an equal, and I've never forgotten. Viva La Raza. Speaking of, why this business is great, this comes from iBeast. It's a picture of Jay Uso and a little kid in a Yeet shirt in the crowd together doing the Yeet. And every week he creates memories for kids during his entrance that they'll remember forever. This is who some of you are hating on. And that's an amazing point. Cena went through the same thing. You got to remember, man, these kids look up to these guys, and that's the magic of pro wrestling. ECW done Family Guy style. Just a wonderful little thing. Stewie as Taz kills me. Sabu as the chicken as Sabu. The old man as Terry Funk.
Dreamer in the wheelchair.
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer in the wheelchair. The Dudley Boys, Peter and Cleveland. Sandman, Quagmire, and yes, RVD is Brian Griffin. Going way back, the Mellow Yellow presents the NWA Collector's Can Series. And those cans had faces of NWA talents. Those were something else. You can get them down south, usually in the NWA territories. Hey, Scott Steiner dressed up as Sting and signed some autographs this weekend. Crazy. And finally, from the internet dump, part-time lovers. You know, it's just great to see Meltzer and Tony. Oh, yeah. All right. There you go. Okay. Final thoughts this week, Rob.
Vote for me. Best impressionist in Las Vegas. Go to Lex Las Vegas or Vegas Trump Guy and cast your freaking ballot. And this way we can entertain so many people. People have told me that I am, quite honestly, one of the very best performers. Melania tells me that every Friday night. She goes, Donald, never ever has there been a performer so good. So many times over, it was like a flood. It was like Hurricane Trump, okay? Believe, Tsunami Trump, and that's what a T, too. It's double T's. Titties, believe me. Believe me.
Hey, boss, you know, there's a way we could stuff all those ballot boxes and get you elected the funniest improvisational comedian who makes impressions of all time.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Louis DeJoy, for rerouting all of the post office boxes to the city of Las Vegas.
All right, Steve, your final thoughts.
You know what? Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 15%. And fuck Bully Ray.
Oh, okay.
All right.
What you got against Mark?
Just can't wait to play that for Bully. That's gonna
he doesn't
awesome.
Even know I exist.
Oh, he will. he will.
So wait, great. Is he gonna get his ass kicked before I do for making fun of Mike Bailey?
Oh, it very well could be. I'm gonna put together a tag team match. It's gonna be amazing.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. And this tag team match could happen this coming Sunday, the 23rd, at the Chris Bay Benefit for Bay Show at the Silverton. Man, it is a stocked card. This is going to be fantastic. It's going to be just incredible to see so many people turning out to support Chris Bay.
I was wearing that shirt at Collision, and yep. Both of the brothers from Top Flight were like, "We love Bay." They saw me as I was leaving, and they gave me a shot. I don't know if it was – I think it was the younger one is Dante Martin.
Yeah, Dante.
Yeah, Harry. Yeah. He pointed to me. He's like, yeah, we love Bay. He gave me the thumbs up. So that was really cool. Really cool on your part.
Yeah, and there are just so many people on the show. Again, it crosses WWE with Karrion Kross. You know, TNA, of course, with AJ Francis, Ace Austin, The Rascals, AEW, Swerve Strickland, Ricochet, as well as, let's see, off the top of my head, TNA, we got Frankie Kazarian, Scoop, by we got Bionic Scoop going to be ringside for it, taking pictures of the whole thing. You know, there's just a lot going on. Hammerstone is going to be wrestling against Karrion Kross.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Dope. That's going to be awesome. That'll be
great. Frankie Kazarian versus Danny Limelight for the title should be fun. Right now, as I believe, too, it's going to be four-way match or so, a five-way match even. I think TJP's in it. I think G Sharp's in it.
TJ Perkins?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep. You know, let's see. So that, you know, that in itself is something that is going to be incredible. just announced the Rascals will be going against Lights, Camera, Faction, the reunited Unguided, Vandegrift and Damian Drake, and the tag champs for FSW, Makeshift Chemistry. So that's going to be a big one there. It's going to be TJP, Ice Williams, G Sharp, and Frankie Kazarian against Danny Limelight for the FSW Heavyweight Championship. A three-way between Leo Rush, John Morrison, and Ace Austin is going to be taking place. Brian Cage versus Rich Swann as well.
Swann is back.
Yep.
Well, Swann is a free agent, so he's able to go wherever he wants to go and participate. So he's
I wasn't following him on TNA. What became of him?
Yeah, so he's a free agent, and he'll be participating on this show. Kenny King will be taking on Swerve Strickland.
That'll be a great match.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. You're going to see RVD and Katie Forbes are going to be there amongst quite a few other people and some surprises. So it's going to be amazing. You can catch it on Triller TV. If you're not in the Vegas area, but if you are here, it's going to be $35 general admission. And right now, third row is $40, $45 for second row. I believe there possibly are still some meet and greets available. So look into that. Go to fsw.com to the website to catch all the information. And with that, we will be, it looks like probably Monday night on the 24th, doing the next show here. So, because we will be at that show and lending a hand. So we will see everyone here, not next week Sunday, but next week Monday, the 24th. Let's go back to...
Great for Collision. How many of you had been to AEW before tonight? Were any of you at our very first show, Double Nothing? Were any of you here at AEW for the first time ever tonight? Did any of you have a great time tonight? Okay, awesome.
He's still going. That speech has been going on now for about 26 hours.
They were doing a lucha match. I was the last one to stay, and he was still talking while the lucha match was going on.
Yeah, I believe the ring is out of there now, but he's still going. So,
did anyone see me when I was born? Did anyone see me come out of my mother's vagina? Did anyone see when my dad was banging my mom in a tent in India?
You do have to remember that he did not actually come out of his mom's vagina. He came out of his dad's mustache.
Jesus.
So that's how he was born. On that note, everybody.
I don't even know. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.